Let's talk about the cascade of health. It's a term used by doctors to describe the transition from people being healthy to being ill, to being sick, to being dead. And the way in which they describe that is the transition between health, adaptation, compensation, and decompensation. These four stages are very important, and I like them very much because they show that even though the doctors don't know it very well, they are using system theory and what they're doing. So there is a logic to it all. And in this case, it's practical to sort out a bit what's going on, why it works like that, and why it is a general principle. When we talk about the cascade of health, it's actually the cascade from health into disease. And we could best call that a fallback system. If something doesn't work at the level where it's functioning, then it will fall back on the deeper underlying processes. If don't work, those don't work, it falls back on a still deeper level. In that sense, you can say that when we don't work, when we fall asleep and we stop working, or we stop the work of being, we fall back from looking at the environment to experiencing our body. Then from experiencing our body, we fall back to what's happening in the organs that compose and create and build our body. And then when we go deeper, we fall back from the organs to the cells, which by their communication create the interplay of the organs. In the fallback system, there is a change of perspective, there is also a change of function, there is also a change of logic. In fact, there is a change of dimension. This is what alchemists very well understood. And when they talk about the relationship between earth, water, air and fire, we can also say that they're actually talking about things which are so coherent that they are actually existing in three dimensions. When things start to dissolve, it is because in those three dimensions a connection is lost, and the result is that you don't have a structure but a process. Dissolve that again, and you have something which is no longer connected together like water does, but which can expand and contract like air does. Go one level deeper, and you can't actually see about things or beings or forms. There is a very nice way to describe that relationship between those four dimensions, and those four dimensions we could actually call space, time, energy and information, or the experience information, we call them consciousness, so then there would be space, time, energy, consciousness. And we can use a geometric model for that. Think of a tetrahedron. That's an equilateral triangle, four of them connected together to form a tetrahedron. And that then represents the structure and nature of space. It is rigid, it is structured, it is inert. It has a fixed cohesion and coherence. Just imagine that you would loosen the top tip of that tetrahedron. So then you have a triangle and three lines. The triangle has its shape and the three lines sort of will flail about. They can expand, contract. They flow with respect to that triangle. So instead of having a rigid structure, you now have a structure with a flow to it. Cut another one of the angles, and then you will have lines with sidelines connected. That is a linear process. That is a system of transformation. You can fold it up and you can expand it again. You can put all these lines on top of each other. You seem to have one line, or you can extend them all, and then you have a long line with side lines. Actually, three lines with three side lines. You, in a way, can create alphabets on that kind of unfoldment. Now, take away the last link, and then you no longer have a structure. You just have loose elements. In the same way, you could say that the healthy body is connected like the tetrahedron. When the body is sick, it is going into a process to re-establish a kind of balance with the environment. It is a fluid environment, it's a fluid dynamic. At the deeper level, when the body cannot restore its balance in the environment, it needs to reset how it relates to the environment. And that's like expansion, contraction. It needs to redefine its boundaries. It needs to redefine its limits, the gaseous thing of the third level. And at the fourth level, it will simply fall apart. So this model of health, adaptation, compensation and decompensation is the transition from structure to a process, to a transformation, to pure information. In our body, we can see that in the relationship of the anatomy, which is a structure, to the physiology, which is a process, to the neurocrine system, which is a transformation system, to the information system, which is in fact not material at all. And in that sense, you could say that the healthy system starts with the information. It puts that information into a context by decision, by transformation into the environment, from where it can then create a process in that environment, a forming process, of which the result will be a structure. In that sense, health and disease are actually the same process. It is simply that when we see it as health, we look at it as something which is seemingly stable, and we regard it a bit as if we see a fountain of which the water is flowing. That we see this elegant form standing up in space, spilling over at the edges, and is there as a structure. When wind blows, we can see that it is not a structure, but it's actually a process. And we can see that because the direction of the jet of the water can change, and the way the water falls off at the top of the fountain will change. And that will be an earlier indicator than that of the direction of the flow of the jet of water itself. In that same way, healers are able to see changes in a body structure. They look at the way the body is formed, but also at the way the body functions. The form of the body would be comparable to the jet of water of the fountain, and the functioning of the body would be how the water at the top of the fountain falls back to the earth. Homeopaths, for example, are very knowledgeable and understanding about the way people behave and the way people change their behavior. So, for example, they have questions like, when you are looking at a dog, what do you see first? If you focus on the teeth first, then they know which remedy, Lycopodium, fits in with that. They look at the changes of the behavior. So when looking at health, they look at the way you adapt in your environment, or maybe have adopted specific characteristic in the environment, as a result of which your adaptation is biased somehow. There you already see the transition from health to adaptation to compensation to decompensation. And let me just give a different example of that same principle. Imagine that you're standing up. You're in balance. and you feel very well in the way you're standing, that's the situation of health. Now, let's imagine that you're bending over. For whatever reason, you want to look around a tree, or you adapt your position because there's something which invites you or suggests that if you change your position a bit, then that will be of benefit from you. For example, you're looking over the edge of a hedge so that you can look at the apple trees behind it. You're adapting by stretching on your toes. It is something that you can normally do. You do it now and you have an extra possibility by adaptation. You adapt it to the conditions that were there. Now, just imagine that you're looking at the tree with the apples and you see that there is an apple and you go out to reach it, but it is just out of reach. So you need something to lean on so that you can reach over. And the leaning on, let's say you can lean on the hedge, you put your hand on the hedge so that with your other hand you can then reach out for the apple. Then you're compensating. You're using the hedge to push you back while you're leaning over farther than you could otherwise. If you didn't have your hand on the hedge, you would fall over forward. You would perhaps be able to grasp the apple, but then you would keep on falling and you would fall into the hedge and through it. So by leaning on the hedge, you are then able to reach for that apple on the tree on the other side of the hedge. You're compensating. But now let's imagine that when you lean on the hedge, you discover that the hedge is not as solid and as sturdy and as firm as you had hoped it to be. In fact, the hedge is younger and the twigs are older. And when you put your weight on it, they bend or they snap. So that what gave you the extra support and made you able to compensate suddenly falls away. And as a result, that's called decompensation. The compensation falls away. The hedge is no longer your support. That motion of falling which you had already initiated but stopped by leaning on the hedge now becomes unstoppable. And you fall over, you fall into the hedge, or maybe even through the hedge, with or without the apple. So this understanding of those four stages is fundamental, because it is taking place at many levels in our body. Just to give an example, when two cells interact, say the first cell has just divided, two cells have been formed, the internal cycle of the first cell has been opened up and become an external cycle between the two cells. The two cells now can exchange molecules. The one cell can give molecules out to the other and the other can give molecules back. So the internal cell cycle now continues in a branch form outside. So the circle has become a Möbius loop in that sense. Those feed forward and these feedback cycles, they need to be balanced. So they, in being balanced, form a continuity of that feed forward feedback loop. And that is actually the basis of the definition of health, as we can find it from the work of Bert Verveen. Health is the balance between the feed forward and the feedback loops between those cells. Each cell can produce more molecules or less of them, so they can adapt the amount of molecules that they make. Each cell can also change the molecules. They can make the one molecule or another molecule. They can adapt the molecules. So they can up the quantity and the quality of the molecules that they put out. But when they put it out, it is part of that food feed-forward feedback loop. The other cell does something with those molecules. So if there are more molecules coming out, can the other cell work with that? If so, it will give back more molecules. And just as in a financial system where there's more money available, there will be more intense interchange, more communication between the two cells. The other way around, if the cell produces less molecules, perhaps because it realizes that it gets back so many molecules from the other side that there are more than enough molecules to go around, literally, then it makes less of the molecules and can downregulate, putting out less molecules, which the other cell can work with, yes or no. Assume that yes, it can work with it, and then it can give back molecules, but probably it will give back less molecules. This is called a coupled feed-forward feedback cycle. So the first cell then realizes there are less molecules coming back. Actually, this might not be enough to keep that currency, that circulation flowing. I need to put out a bit more. So in that way, by the variation of the amount of molecules going out, the cells have as part of their communication that they know how much communication they have, how the intensity of the quantity of the communication. The same story holds for the quality of the communication. If the cell puts out a slightly different molecule, is that cell still able to recognize it, and is that other cell still able to work with it? Let's assume yes, then that other molecule, which adapted molecule, is then adopted, and as an adopted molecule, it is changed back, and it will be changed back into something which is different again, because the molecule which came out is different. But will it be recognizable still for the first cell or not? And if it is recognizable, then the loop communication continues between them, so their health continues. And if not, in our body, it might be that another cell suddenly can do something with it. So that the first cell is not only communicating with that other cell, but after a couple of decisions, that there might be new cells which are participating, and they're able to respond to that other molecule which is put out. So in the adaptation, it can be that the communication can adapt as well. So health is in its way enlarged. Now let's go to the other side of this story, that when the cell and the other cell are having this exchange of, say, this currency, this current of the molecules in the feed-forward and the feedback loop, then it could also be that the other cell reaches its limits of its capacity, for the simple reason that when it needs to transform that molecule back again, it needs energy or it needs materials, and if those are not available at that time, it cannot do it at that time. So there is a holdup in the system, as a result of which the flow falters. And that hiccup in the flow means that the loop cannot continue unless at a later moment the production still picks up, and it then only matters if the feedback loop that comes back gets to the other cell in time that it hasn't shut off. If it still gets there in time, that is because it can compensate for the time lag in the feed forward and the feedback loop of that system. So there is a compensation capacity which is based on what that cell is doing internally and the amount of reserves that it has and the connectedness to the environment that it has and so on. So compensation is always a situation of variation, but the situation of variation in which the context, the conditions start to play a role. How many reserves are there? How many other processes are going on? Another case might be that the cell puts molecules out and one molecule gets lost on the way. Does that matter for the first cell? If a molecule is lost, can it compensate for the loss of the molecule? Or is it so finely calibrated that they specifically need to have so many molecules going on between them? Is it possible to find another molecule which can be used and can be rebuilt so that it can be taken the place of the lost molecule? So that is where then the cells are compensating for limitations in the capacity of that feed forward and the feedback loop. And as I said before, in the healthy system, the feed forward and the feedback loop are balanced. In the situation of adaptation, there is a variation in the feed forward and the feedback loop. There's too much or too little, there's something else or something else yet again. And can it work with these variations, yes or no? At the level of compensation, things are different. Things are at the level of, say, the molecule that goes out snaps and comes as two fragments. Can the other molecule recognize them together? Or, as I mentioned before, the molecule gets lost. Can the other cell find a different molecule and use that instead? Compensation. Decompensation, as the name already implies, is where this breaks down. The other cells cannot work with that, it can no longer do its function, it switches off at that level of functioning. It is intriguing that this model of health adaptation, compensation and decompensation, as doctors use it, is actually the same as is used in physics when they're looking at the position of a vehicle. The position of the vehicle is known, it's there, and is then that this is the state of being of that vehicle, of that object. And it's that state of being, or that state, which is the equivalent of what we call health. So in that sense, health is a state. When that vehicle starts to move, it is no longer in a position. The position varies. It has a speed, it has a velocity. It is moving position. So instead of having just one position, we see that there is a variation of position. And that variation of position is the counterpart of what we described before, what I described before as the adaptation. So in object, we talk about the position and the displacement. And we can also talk about the acceleration, which is the change of the displacement. So in the position, the movement is still, there is no movement. When it is moving, there is a speed, and you can sort of know where it will be going because it is a steady displacement, it's a steady change. But if the change changes, that's called acceleration, that means it is changing its direction while it is being directed. So it goes more forward or less forward, so it's accelerating or decelerating, or it can go sideways any of the other ways, any of the other directions, so it curves, turns. So that is called acceleration. So when in physics they call the position, the speed, and the acceleration, that is the counterpart of what we have now called health, adaptation and compensation. The fourth level of decompensation in the physical model would be correction or coordination. Is that where you need to do the steering to make sure that it still works well and that it doesn't accelerate into out of existence or decelerate out of existence? In the mathematics that goes with it, these are called differentials. So when something is standing still, There is no difference. There is no differential. It just continues as it was before. There is no difference. There's no variation. When there is a variation, there is a difference. And the degree of that difference is called the differential. The difference of the difference is called the second order differential. And the difference of the difference of the difference is called the third order differential. And this is all used in differential equations. So in that sense, we can now see that health, adaptation, compensation, decompensation are actually the same as a steady state, the first differential, the second differential, and the third differential. We're just using different language to describe the same. In system theory, you call it the state, the process, the transformation, and the information or integration. Different words for the same principle. It simply means that when doctors talk about health, adaptation, compensation, and decompensation, which is what happens in the onset of disease, then with the help of the physics and the mathematics, we can use system theory and say that what we are actually dealing with is the state, the process, the transformation, and the integration. And by using those terms, we suddenly have the possibility to connect it and correlate that understanding to many different other examples of the same kind of situations of collapse. But we can thereby also generalize that when in the body the feed forward and the feedback cycles of the cells, which create the balance of the physiology and the steady state of that physiology, is what we call the anatomy, when that balance starts to lose itself, then from the systems theoretical perspective, we know that the state has become dominated by the process. It's the same as the wind blowing the fountain. We now need to realize that when we look at the body anatomy, or when we look at the health of the body, we are actually not seeing the health of the body. We're just simply seeing that things repeat themselves, and they repeat themselves so neatly and nicely because there is no variation in the process which creates it. From system theory, we now realize that when we look at the state of a system, we must not be fooled and say, well, this is how it is. We must understand that it's actually a process which is stable. But when that process becomes unstable, we see that the process is transforming, because we then know that it's actually a collection of processes. It's not just the pressure on the pipes of the fountain. It's not just the nozzle of the fountain jet, which is clean and open. It's not just that there is no wind to blow to the side, or that there is rain or a flood blocking it, but all of it, all of those processes, all of them need to be connected up in the proper manner. In system theory, we can then see that the anatomy of the body, the structure of the body, is actually the process of the body, which is the physiology, but that process is not just a feed-forward feedback between one cell, but it's a feed-forward feedback between all of the cells, between all of the organs in the whole body. So there are many of these process loops, and they can change with respect to each other. And so at the third level, we see that they can only form a continuous process if they are not interchanging between them, if they're not expanding or contracting, speeding up or slowing down one with respect to the other. And it's at that level that we see in the body that there is the regulatory system, because in the body, the principal system of compensation in the body is that one cycle can be stabilized by a connecting an opposite other cycle. Now, if a cell cycle is getting too weak, it is possible that another cell cycle contributes something to the cell so that they get that help from the other side, so that they can rebuild that first cycle again. In our body, we see a whole system of cogwheels, which are all interacting with each other. But at the moment that one of the cycles gets larger or faster, another one can get smaller or slower to compensate for that. The Chinese medicine, which works at that level, is very well aware of that. Chinese medicine understands that regulatory system in terms of the compensation of one cycle with respect to another. They call that the divisions. So when one cycle gets larger, they know that another must become smaller to compensate. Or depending on the level that it is, maybe it needs to become even larger to do so. The understanding of what happens at that third level of the compensation is all based on the loops within loops in the body and how all of these loops connect and how all of these loops interact. That's the level of transformation. At the fourth level of decompensation, which is also the level of integration or steering, we can then see that we are no longer at the anatomy of the solid state. We are no longer at the physiology of the steady state process. We are no longer at the adaptation level of the regulatory system, of the exchange of what one cycle does with respect to the other. But we are now at the level of connecting and disconnecting cycles. And that is where things can fall apart. And when things start to fall apart at that level, it means that cycles which were previously connected suddenly become disconnected. Essentially, it means that processes which were connected start to fall apart. And that is where you can then see that by this model of system theory, with the mathematics and with the physics, we can understand the biology of health, adaptation, compensation and decompensation. Because instead of looking at the fountain, or instead of looking at the body, we understand that the body anatomy is the result of the physiology. And that the steady state of the body, or how the body looks good and there's no symptoms, that merely says that the physiology is in its proper connected state. At the moment that somebody starts growing bumps, or the color goes away in the body somewhere, then when you see that there is a change in that process, you know that it must come from another level. The blood drains away because it can no longer be in the face, because it has to go to the muscle or to the gut. Or suddenly there is all kind of redness in the face because the blood is pumped to the face, because the blood is in fact pumped everywhere, because that animal, that human, is preparing to run for it or to hit on it. The activation is turned on. It is compensating for something. At that fourth level, the decompensation comes in when that compensation does not fit in the environment. It is a mismatch. That the one process and the other, which would normally link up then, you're leaning on the hedge, but the hedge is giving way. You fall over. So that is the principle of health, adaptation, compensation and decompensation. And what I just described for the body, which is where doctors most often use that model. We can likewise understand that for the psyche. So there's a healthy behavior. You would normally do things in a specific way. Situations change slightly. You need to adapt the way you work it. The bus hasn't shown up because it broke down. Are you going to wait for the next bus? Are you going to get a bicycle? Are you going to hitchhike? Are you going to go back home? You need to change what you're doing. So if the system is still stable, you could probably simply take the next bus, because somebody else also already knew that the bus has disappeared, doesn't ride, and maybe they put a new bus in circulation to compensate for that. So when the compensation mechanism is functional, then the process level is flexible but stable. But the physiology keeps on functioning well. So from health to adaptation, all of that is normal living. When we talk about health, that includes the adaptation. You can walk faster, you can walk slower, you can walk longer, you can walk shorter. all of that is part of the healthy situation, because the healthy situation in that sense is no more than the average of the processes of the physiology, and it is the process that determines our health, not the body anatomy. And so we cannot read the health from the body anatomy, but doctors need to learn to look through the body. It's called diagnosis, diagnosis. D is through, and gnosis is to know. So you know by looking through it. You don't look at the body anatomy, but you look at the body anatomy and look for what you can see of the physiology. In the body anatomy, you can see that the skin is too white, too red, too blue, too yellow. Those are signals that at the process level something has shifted. So you don't look for the skin, but you look to the degree that the skin changes color with respect to what you would normally expect. With oxygenated skin, the blood is red, and with a healthy body, the blood flow will go all the way to the periphery and not stagnate. So from the body, from looking at the fountain, you can see if there's water pressure on the pipe, you can see if the physiology is working. If you don't see that you need to look beyond the body, that diagnosis, then you end up with diagnosis. And D is the Greek word for two, and agnosis is the word for ignorance. So if you make the mistake of not looking at the physiology when looking at the body, you're mistaking the body for the physiology, and you're mistaking the physiology for the body. So you're doing two things wrong already. So you will just pile up misinterpretations. And there are many examples where they did that. For example, when people thought that if people become red, there's too much blood, so we have to get leeches and get rid of the blood. And they didn't have the diagnosis, as they got the wrong picture, so they will do the wrong action as well. So they took away the blood, and indeed there was less blood in the body, so the skin was less red, but in fact there was not enough blood for the whole body. So they actually had a loss of blood, which meant that the body itself could no longer function. And that in a way cripples the body in the same way that beta blockers cripple the heartbeat and so on. There's a lot of this diagnosis, wrong kind of thinking in the body. If you don't understand the principle, then you're looking for the wrong solution. That same applies to the physiology. Once you start to understand the physiology, you can say, well, okay, there's more blood or there's less blood, but you need to understand why is there more or less blood. The blood that normally would go to the surface of the skin and give you the reddish complexion, where has it gone instead? So when people turn white, is that because they have that internal bleeding? Or is that because their blood vessels have relaxed so much that in fact there is much more blood stored in the vessel than being pumped through the vessels? You suddenly have to look at what kind of compensation method is taking place. What other system is active now as a result of which the normal process of the blood flow is no longer the normal process, but it is a different process. Which other process has kicked in? Which other process is interfering with it now? So there you need to look through the physiology into the regulatory system. Western medicine has not enough understanding of that. Chinese medicine has a lot of understanding of that. So they are aware that at the moment that one of the processes is speeding up or slowing down, you need to not only look at that process, but you also need to look at all the connected processes. So the need is then to understand the body system at a much deeper level. And that is what East Chinese medicine provides, the connectedness of all these deeper processes. Where the compensation between the processes comes into play and where the body regulation can come into play. Then you also understand that the processes themselves, with the blood flow, the blood vessels, and the neurons and the hormones, are at a different level than the compensation of the processes. Because in the compensation of the processes, you then suddenly see that the neurons and the hormones apparently have gotten a different relationship to each other. So where you first thought that you needed to look at how the one process relates to the other process and how the one process changes because the other process has changed, you then actually realize that the processes are regulated by neurons and hormones, and that you should no longer look at the physiology, but you need to look at the deeper level at the neurocrinology. The neurons and the hormones are different. It's because the neurons are responding to something, for example, toxins of microbes or other organisms, or toxins from industrial stuff, which in the body looks close enough to something that the body works with, so the body gets excited by it. For example, the whole Coca-Cola industry and all of the excitotoxins which are put in the food, which basically creates a burnout in the nervous system because it triggers the nervous system so much that it starts to switch off. And the same is also the case for the hormones. Are there disturbances in the hormonal system because of something going on within the body? Or are people having plastics in the bottle around the water that they drink, of which the modifiers in the plastic actually have an effect as if they are estrogen hormones? Or is somebody be given a pill as a result of which the internal regulation of the hormone system goes haywire and can no longer be accounted for by the body? You can only see that at the level of compensation, at the level of system correction, when you understand how these system processes in the body connect up to each other. But you also need to understand that these internal body processes are also connected to things happening outside of us. As in the example that I gave, the excitotoxin can trigger the nervous system into believing that something goes on in the body, while actually it doesn't do that, it comes from outside. And likewise, the plastics or the artificial hormones can in the body create an effect, but it's not effect which has part of the internal communication with the, within the body. And once you understand that the neurons and the hormones both are essentially electromagnetic communication forms within the body, then you can also understand that electromagnetic fields can interfere with the neurons and the hormones, and as a result can give an excitotoxin or a hormonal triggering effect within the body at that level of the regulatory system. I make this explicit because too often you see that doctors are still thinking in terms of the anatomy. I can see nothing wrong, so there must be nothing wrong. No, that's not correct. If you would use the optics or the perspective of homeopathy, you would see that there are subtle changes, and that indeed that there is something wrong, not in the way the body looks, but in the way the body functions. And sometimes you need to look deeper still, and then you realize that the body still seems to look okay, and the physiology still seems to look okay, but the neuronal and the hormonal system seem to be triggered too quickly or too slowly, as if there's something else going on. And that's where you then suddenly discover that there's a whole layer of immune diseases which Western medicine doesn't understand, because it doesn't look at this deeper level of neuronal hormonal system regulation. At that level, you're still not deep enough. As I said before, we're talking about the cascade from health to adaptation to compensation to decompensation. The endocrine and the neurocrine system is the level of the regulatory system, which is actually where the electric and the magnetic field become important in the connectedness of the cells and thus the forming of the body. But there is also a deeper level where the information that the cells work with needs to be coherent. So it's not just about the regulation of the processes with respect to each other, or the way the body processes are connected to environmental processes, which is what takes place at the regulatory system level. But there is also a deeper level where the cells are actually the decisive factors in determining if they do something, yes or no. And in doing that, the cells use the material that is available around them. They work with nuclear energies, and they can already do that. That's built in. But they need to have cosmic information. For one cell to be able to synchronize its activities with another cell so that they can keep a larger scale process going, they need to have that shared information of that larger process level. They cannot work with the information that they have within the cells. They need to have the information from the other cells involved. And yes, that might come from molecular exchanges, but the molecules are also chemical reactors. So the cells are also responsive to chemical changes or chemistry changes in the body. That's part of their information that they work with. The molecules are also an electromagnetic spectrum of the atoms within them. So the cells are responsive to that electromagnetic field in the body, and they use that as well. So they connect to the radio field in the body. But the most important part is that the cells work with the molecules which also operate at the pigment level. They interact with photons. Which means that the cells in their communication, they also operate at the photonic level. That means that the body as a whole operates at the light field, as a hologram, and that the cells are part of that hologram. So the cells, in deciding what they do, they make use of the information of the physical, the chemical, the electromagnetic, and let's call it the hologram. And all of those four are just the same in principle as that relation between health, adaptation, compensation, and decompensation. For health, the cells need that information of the hologram. For adaptation, for people and for cells, it is enough to have, say, the information of the radio field. For the compensation, it is enough to just to have the chemistry, the chemical information. And for the survival or for the life, it's just enough to have the physical information. So there are always those four levels that the cells work with. But in what I just said, I already referred to that relationship between the molecules that the cells use and the electromagnetic field which that cells and those molecules form part of. There's a physical aspect, there's a chemical aspect, there's a radio field aspect, and there's a photonic level aspect. So in our body, we're always working with those four levels, and the cells always work with those four levels. When we talk about the molecular aspect of that process, that communication, that exchange, we call the physiology. When we look at the radio information of that process, we call it psychology. This is actually the psychosomatic principle. This is where we see that in our body, in the materials and in the cells, the information and the matter is directly connected. It is actually one electromagnetic field in four dimensions: the light field, the electromagnetic field, the chemical electron flow, and the physical electron bonding level. It means that health, adaptation, compensation, decompensation are connected to those four fields: the physical bonding, bonded electron level, the flows of the physiology, of the chemistry. At the third level, it is the electromagnetic field and the the transformation between electricity and magnetism, and at the fourth level it is the photon field. Health operates at all those four levels. Health operates in the physiology and the psychology. So then we can see that what I've just described for the diseases that operate in the body, and this is standard knowledge of the doctor, even though most doctors don't have that understanding of what happens at the electrical chemical level and the electrophysical level. They're not taught that, but they understand that there are those four levels of health: adaptation, compensation, and decompensation, and they understand that within the body. But they need to understand that in the same way and by the same principle it operates also in the mind. And then you can say that where in the body the miscommunication between cells would be a disturbance of the physiology, or maybe even the disturbance of the regulatory system, or maybe even a disturbance of the survivability of a cell. In the mind, the feed forward and the feedback loop, which do not connect up, will mean that an idea is not functional in that manner, or that the idea has been distorted so much that it cannot be well recognized and can easily be confused with a different idea, or that the idea has been distorted so much that it actually looks at the opposite of what it really is. That means that all of the diseases which are known for the body have their equivalent in diseases that are known for the mind. This is where the work of Bert Vervain is really important, because he showed that health is based on the feed-forward feedback loops between the cells, but he also showed that disease results when that feed-forward and the feedback loop doesn't come to closure. That feed-forward and feedback loop needs to adapt, or it needs to compensate, or it cannot compensate and it decompensates, it falls apart. So we see that this principle of health, adaptation, compensation, decompensation exists at the deepest level of cell communication, with of course its counterpart, what happens within the cell in the cell cycle. But all of those principles which happen in the cell communication at the material level also take place at the immaterial level. So the psychology or the psyche is the electromagnetic field and the electromagnetic flow and the electromagnetic current in the body, just like the software in a computer. So by having this explanation, we can see that the diseases of the body and the diseases of the mind are actually paired up. For every disease in the body will the disease in the mind, and the other way around, because it's always about the same principle: the stable state, the adaptation, compensation, and the falling apart, decompensation of the feed forward and the feedback process. This also takes place between people. Communication between people is based on communication between the cells. As a result, we can see that the physiology, which is also the psychology within the body, based on the cell communication, has its counterpart in the sociology and the ecology as the communication between people. The communication between people is based on exactly the same principles as that within the cell. Actually, the communication between people is the inside-out version of what takes place within people. This needs to be understood very literally. That what people do on the outside is, say, the inverse or mirror image of that what people do inside. The kind of understanding that people have on the outside and the kind of miscommunication that people have on the outside are the counterpart of the closure or the non-closure of those processes and the connecting between processes on the inside. Everything that I described for the stability of the process, the variability of the process, the exchange between processes for compensation, and the collapse or disconnection between processes within the body is also seen between people. We just use different words. So when we talk about the decay and the collapse in the physical interchange between the cells, we call it disease. When we talk about the decay and the collapse of the coherence of the thought process, we call it madness, or whichever at that time fashionable word it is described. When we talk about the same, the decay and the collapse of the connectedness between people, we call that criminality. And when we talk about the decay and the collapse of the connectedness between humans and the planet, we call that pollution, actually ecological destruction. At the moment, we see that humans are destroying life forms, they are destroying landscapes, they are destroying the oceans, they are destroying the climate, for the simple reason that they do not see that the processes around them are extensions of the processes within them, or rather, that the processes within them are extensions of the processes around them, which means that if they pollute, if they toxify the processes in their environment, they inescapably pollute and thus toxify the processes within them, because those processes are connected. At the moment this is happening because medical doctors learn about the health and they learn about the adaptation, but they do not learn about the compensation and they do not know about the decompensation. Medical doctors assume that if you give a pill, then the physiology will work it out, but they do not understand what Chinese medicine knows and what Indian medicine knows, that if the processes within the body are no longer well functional, you need to restore the connection of the body processes to the environmental processes. That is what Ayurvedic medicine does at the process level. They take the processes in the body as a reference system, but they work with the processes in the environment as the ground system, as the dominating system. They know that the body needs to fit back into the natural processes. Yes, we have the capacity to disconnect from the environment. Yes, to have the capacity to breathe and hold our breath before we breathe out. Yes, we have the capacity to eat and digest the food before we need to eat again. Yes, we have the capacity to run around for a whole day before we need to sleep again. But at some point, we must reconnect to the environment. Indian medicine focuses on the processes in the environment, where you can find them, how you can find them, how you can connect them, and how you can clean out so that you can reconnect to them. Chinese medicine focuses on the kind of connection that you can make and where and when you can make those connections. But the principle is the same. Both of them are aware that there is a process system around us, which is actually the foundation of what happens within us. And so they are able to work with diseases at the level of compensation. Where Western medicine looks for a pill to add or subtract something from the physiology, Eastern medicine, Far Eastern medicine, looks at the connection that we have in the environment and how we can restore our connection into those larger processes, into that larger environment, how we can become synchronized to what's really going on around us. Shamanic medicine goes one level further and says, well, if that is the case, we actually need to let go of the preferential bias that we are right in what we do. As the Americans say, let go, let God. The shamanic process then is realize that what you are doing is part of the larger context. Now focus on that larger context and reconnect to the larger context. And first assess and ascertain for yourself what the larger process is, and then you can reposition yourself within it. As long as you think that you are apart from it, you can no longer be a part of it. shamanic medicine then works at that deepest level of compensation turning into decompensation, because it realizes that decompensation means that something which was apart has gone apart. So anything that was a part of the whole needs to be put back in its relationship to the whole again. And that means that you need to look at it not from the perspective of it being apart or it being separated, the old word for that is hell, but that you need to look at it from the perspective of being integrated, it being connected. That is the old word for that is paradise. So at the deepest level of decompensation, and say recompensation, is where you then, the recompensation comes from you realizing that you are part of the universe and not that somebody or something owes you. It's the other way around. You are part of that much larger environment, and the more you are aware of that, the more your body can reconnect to that, and the more your body can restore its natural functioning. So in that sense, in this cascade from health to adaptation to compensation to decompensation, you also can say that it is a transition from Western medicine, which sort of looks at health and symptoms. Adaptation, which is the physiology, is where Eastern medicine looks at the processes and the tuning of the processes. The level of compensation is where we connect to the environment and need to reconnect to the environment if something goes wrong there, and that's where Far Eastern Meridian system looks at the larger connectedness of the processes, not just beyond one cell and next, but at the larger distance as well in the phase relationships that are involved. And at the level of decompensation, where shamanic healthcare then realizes that the life of a cell or organ of our body is always part of the existence and being of the universe as a whole. And once you can rediscover that, yeah, you can reconnect it and you can revitalize that. So what I've been pointing out is that the understanding of medical doctors of health adaptation, compensation and decompensation is much more than a terminology that doctors use. They need to understand that it has much more meaning, and they certainly need to understand that the meaning is actually defined by system theory and, let's say, the alchemy that connects to that. They must understand that health is the state, adaptation is the process, compensation is a transformation, and decompensation is a loss of information. It is no longer in formation. Once you see that cascade of health into disease in its larger perspective, you also can see that this it is based on a fallback system. The anatomy of the body is the consequence of the physiology. The physiology is the consequence of the system regulation. The system regulation is the consequence of the information. In that sense, the fallback from health to adaptation to compensation or decompensation is a fallback to the underlying systems. But that means that what doctors call adaptation, compensation and decompensation is actually part of the healthy system. In the same way that our consciousness in daily life of the outer world, in our sleep cycle, we see that the consciousness of the outer world is actually based on the body consciousness, which is actually based on the organ consciousness, which is actually based on the cell consciousness. So we should understand it the other way around. The cell consciousness is the basis of the organ consciousness, which is then the foundation of the body consciousness, and which is then the basis of outer world experience consciousness. Once you see that, then the cascade of disease is no longer scary, because you know that once you go from, say, the healthy body to the ailing body, when there's illth, adaptation, that you need to change from Western medicine to Eastern medicine. Likewise, when at that level of the physiology, you suddenly realize that there is something else going on, that there's another process which is interacting or interfering with it. You need to go to Chinese medicine and pick up on what happened in the compensation from one system to the other. Is it an internal compensation, or is it a compensation external? Are the internal loops shifting with respect to each other, or are the body loops shifting with respect to the environment? And to get the answer to that, you need to go to the shamanic or far western spiritual healing approach, which is that of understanding that the cells are part of the universe. Actually, the cells are the universe in inverse, and that's the basis where healing starts. That then, as I said, applies for the body, it applies for the mind, it applies for the soul, it applies for the spirit. As people would know it, the healthcare of the body, the healthcare of the mind, or the diseases of the psyche, the healthcare of people in society, this is then called crime, and the healthcare of humanity on the earth, those are against the crimes against life, and pollution and other forms of destruction are examples of that, all are part of the same picture. And in that sense, then this model of the principle of the cascade of health, the collapse into disease, as you can also call it, which is known to the doctors, can be understood by the doctors to apply to the body, but also to the mind. A disease of the mind can be understood in the same way. Diseases of the soul and the relationship between people, social disease, can be understood in the same way. And diseases of the spirit, how we connect to our environment and the destruction of Earth, can be understood in the same way as well. That also means that what the doctors then can understand for the body, for the mind, for society, and for the Earth, can also be understood by other people. And in fact, they are already understood by other people, and sometimes it seems that they are better understood by other people, because it's the Western world which is most alienated and most destructive on Earth, and so they can learn from the East, from the Far East, and from the Far West, to get an understanding of those deeper levels of the body which they until now have ignored, but which are in fact the actual foundation of our body, as we can see, because in the cascade of disease, in the transition from health to adaptation to compensation to decompensation, there is always a fallback on the earlier system, which is also a more fundamental system, which is also more connected to the environment, and which is also more universal. So once that is understood, then the solution becomes quite explicit as well. It's just a matter of realizing that health spans all of those four aspects of health compensation, adaptation, compensation, decompensation. It's all part of the same dynamic which operates in four dimensions.